biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. And Pastor Rock, I got stumped this week with...
Is that the first time?
The first time that I recall this week, yeah. That I got stumped in a conversation. I didn't know how to answer. I didn't know how what Scripture said, and so I was a little stuck. So I thought I'd bring it to the table today.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm
here for you.
Somebody is. We were talking about tithing and how some beliefs say you need to bring 10% because that's what they did in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. And then the gentleman that I was talking to said, well, we're under the New Covenant, so that doesn't apply anymore. And he gave his own reasons of how much he thought you should bring. And, you know, it's just and then he's talking about offerings, how tithes are different than offerings. An offering is a whole separate thing. And, you know, it's one of those things where I wish I was could speak a little more intelligently with the guy about it. But, you know, it's one of those areas I don't know. And it's one of those areas where we've been taught through the church and your whole life, that's what you do. And
not here.
Not here, right.
No.
But, you know, it's one of those things that get ingrained early on. And
oh, yeah.
You just don't know what to do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay, so tithing, is it a new covenant practice that believers ought to be engaging in?
Good question.
That's the question.
Okay.
Okay. All right, let me begin by saying that the tithe that we read about in the Old Testament, there's one mention of it in the New, but the tithe that we read about in the Old Testament was a tax. It was the temple tax. Hmm. Now, we read about Abraham tithing a tenth of the spoils of war before God officially established the tithe as a temple tax in ancient Israel. But through most of the Old Testament, we read about the tithe that God established, and it was a tax upon the people, and it was used to support the temple and the priests in the temple. Hmm. Now, most of that tax came in the form of agricultural goods because the economy was largely an agricultural-based economy. So when we read about bringing the tithe into the storehouse,
right?
Well, the storehouse was akin to what we might call today a root cellar or a silo. It was a place where agricultural products could be safely stored.
Okay.
And so when you read about bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, to be accurate, you need to picture people bringing their zucchini, their potatoes, their corn, their spinach, etc.
Right, right.
Into a storehouse that would be sufficiently cool and so on, so that those agricultural products would be safe and then could be used to feed the priests and could also be used by the priests to feed people who were in difficulty, travelers, immigrants, the poor,
right,
etc.
Right.
So it was a temple tax designated to support the priests of the temple as they carried out their God-given responsibilities. And again, it was largely made up of agricultural products, which is why Pharisees talking to Jesus subsequently said, we tithe even our spices. Well, yeah, because spice is what? It's an agricultural product.
Sure.
And people grow spices not only for their own consumption, but as to sell as part of an agricultural economy. Now, that was the purpose of the tithe, to support the priests, the temple, and the activities of the priests in the temple. But there was more than one tithe. There was that 10% tithe, which if you had 100 ears of corn, would be 10 ears of corn.
Right.
Again, it was a tax. It was a levied specific percentage or amount. But there was another tithe that was a part of that system that isn't mentioned as frequently. And there was also a once every so many years, I don't remember the exact numbers, that's not important for our discussion, another tax or tithe as well, so that when you average those three out, the tax rate for ancient Israel, when they were a theocracy under the rule of God who spoke through the prophets and the judges, the tax rate was about 22-point-something%. So, if we are going to duplicate the Old Covenant tithe system, if it is still in force today, we're not talking 10%. We're talking just north of 22%.
Wow.
And nobody who talks about tithing teaches that. They talk about the 10%.
Sure.
But there were several tithes, and put together, and all of them were incumbent upon ancient Israel, put together, it was like 22.5 or some percent. Okay?
Wow.
But again, it was a temple tax. Now, in the New Covenant, we no longer have a physical temple in Jerusalem. God does not dwell in houses made by human hands.
Right.
In the New Covenant, you and I and all believers make up the temple of God. New Covenant teaches we are the temple of God.
Right.
That the temple of God isn't made up of wood and stone, but it's made up of living beings. So there is no longer a physical structure, and priests inside that physical structure to be supported. Rather, we are the temple of God.
Right.
And every believer is a member of God's royal priesthood. That's also a New Covenant teaching.
Right.
You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Right? So there is no physical temple and no limited number of priests inside that physical temple who need to be supported through a taxation system.
Right.
All right. That's why you don't find the New Testament teaching tithing or commanding tithing. Nowhere. There's not one New Testament verse that calls us to tithe. There's not one New Testament verse that teaches us to tithe.
Right.
Now, those who believe that the tithe is still in force quickly run to the one occasion where tithing is mentioned, where the Pharisees said to Jesus, we tithe everything, including our spices. And he says, and you should have. That's what you should have done.
Right.
But he said, you have neglected the weightier matters on God's heart, justice and mercy and so on. Okay? So Jesus isn't teaching tithing there. But when he said to the Pharisees, well, that's what you should have done, It's because the old covenant was still in play.
Mm.
Right. Jesus hadn't yet brought in or ushered in
That's right.
the new covenant in his blood.
Right.
Because he had not yet been crucified.
That's right.
So those Pharisees he was talking to were still living under the old covenant.
Hmm.
And as a part of the old covenant, they should have been tithing their spices. But he pointed out they were neglecting more important things.
Right. Right.
So that's hardly Jesus teaching new covenant believers to tithe. That's Jesus telling old covenant believers, yeah, you guys do that right, but you're missing the bigger stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So to take that as a universal command for new covenant believers to tithe is just hideous biblical scholarship that is oblivious to context.
Context.
And the audience he was speaking to and the time he was speaking.
Right.
So if God wanted us to tithe, don't you think there would be one New Testament verse that says, just as your forefathers did right. under the old covenant, you are to tithe.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people who advocate the tithe is still being enforced today saying, well, the storehouse is the local church.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, says who?
Yeah, yeah.
The storehouse was a root cellar. It was a food, a silo.
Pantry,
it was a pantry
right,
where
right.
they brought their agricultural goods, where you could hang up a side of beef and it wouldn't spoil.
Right.
That's not the local church. And the pastors of a local church are part of the royal priesthood, but they are not a set-apart priesthood. Again, the teaching of the New Testament is we're all priests.
That's right.
Every New Covenant believer is a priest because priests have two duties. They represent God to people, and they represent the people to God. And when you share the teachings of Christ, you're representing God to people. And when you pray for people, you're representing
yep.
those people before God.
Yep.
So there isn't a priesthood to be supported inside of a physical structure. The church is the temple, and we're all priests.
Right.
So to say that the local church is the storehouse is just, it's bad biblical exposition. It's inexcusable biblical exposition.
Yeah.
I know if you've been taught that all your life, it might take a while to get past it. But if you have a Bible and you're reading it, there is a statute of limitations on ignorance. You know, how you perpetuate something that's unbiblical when you're reading your Bible is amazing.
Yeah.
So the New Testament nowhere teaches tithing. And that lone mention in the gospel was Jesus talking to people still under the old covenant.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, the New Testament, when it talks about giving, makes it clear that giving is to be cheerful. The Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it clear we're not to give under compulsion because we're not to give because we're required.
Hmm.
That's compulsion.
That's what compulsion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, taxes are paid under compulsion the last time I checked.
Yep.
I don't contact the IRS and say, hey, I cheerfully would like to give you another 10%.
Right.
So, if we're not to give under compulsion, that means there's no longer a strict tax system in place. We're to give cheerfully. We're not to give under compulsion. We're to give according to our means. That's another New Testament principle. And when Paul writes to the Macedonians, whom he holds up as an example, of gracious giving. He says, they gave beyond their means, which means God supernaturally enabled them to do more than what their income would dictate.
Right.
Because they were moving in faith.
Right.
In his commendation of the Macedonians, who were poorer believers, the people on the wrong side of the tracks,
yeah,
and yet they're the ones Paul held up as examples of great giving.
Mm.
He said that they gave generously because they first gave themselves unto the Lord. Mm. Meaning, generous giving is to grow out of devotion to God, right, not a stagnant tax number.
Right. Mm.
You can pay your taxes without giving yourself to God.
Right.
But you can't practice New Testament generosity without first giving yourself to God.
That's right.
It goes much deeper than paying taxes.
That's right.
He says, they begged for the privilege of participating in the offering.
Wow.
Now, you don't beg to pay taxes.
No. No.
You can pay them respectfully and honestly, but you don't beg for the privilege of paying taxes.
Yeah.
So obviously they weren't thinking of a taxation system. They heard of the need of the saints in Jerusalem under the famine. Paul's taking an offering wherever he goes. And they wanted to get in on the action,
right,
because they knew it's better to give than to receive. So they considered giving a privilege and begged to participate. Mm. Then they gave according to their means and beyond their means. So the New Testament teaches a generosity that is faith-based, spirit-led, need-focused, and seen as a privilege and engaged in joyfully.
Right.
Now, see, none of that really aligns very well with a stagnant tax system. And again, I would say, if you are going to abide by the idea that the tithe is still enforced today, then don't teach 10%, teach 22 point whatever.
That's
I'll let you accurate. Round it down to 22. But
yeah, that's more accurate.
That's
that
more accurate.
Thinking, right.
Because there were several tithes that were required.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them annually and one every so many years. And they were all referred to by God as tithes. Okay. So, the New Covenant doesn't teach tithing.
That's interesting.
And again, don't you think if we were to be tithing today, Paul, John, Peter, Mark, Luke, Matthew, Jesus, somebody would have said, as followers of Christ, you are to tithe, fill in the blank, percentage belongs to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take it to your local house church. Nothing. There's no command, no instruction, nothing. Instead, every reference to giving is about God moving on hearts, generosity, response to need, love for God, prompted by the Holy Spirit. So, the new covenant teaching on giving is not a prescribed numerical tax. It is a matter of the heart responding generously and gladly to the promptings of God.
Mm.
And for that reason, some people's giving maybe shouldn't rise to a 10% level. A widow on a fixed income.
Right.
See?
Right.
I wouldn't go to that woman and say, well, if you aren't giving 10%, you're robbing God.
Right.
See? Now, if she feels prompted to give 10, I would say to her, if God's prompted you to do that, honey, he's got your back and your needs will be cared for. But not because you followed an old covenant tax system, but because you followed the promptings of God's right. Spirit. On the other side of the equation, if somebody's making six figures and are very comfortable, if they consult God as to what they ought to be doing, I got a hunch it's got to be a whole lot more than 10%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my dad followed the prompting of God. Now, he believed the first 10 was the Lord's. And again, I don't think he was correct in that, but God honored his giving. But my dad, in the last years of his business, was giving well over 20% because he felt that's what God wanted him to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't a tax. It wasn't a formula. He just felt that's what God wanted him to do. And every time he increased his giving, God blessed him.
Never went without.
And he taught his children, you can't outgive the Lord. Every time you shovel to God, God shovels back to you, with the difference being God has a much bigger shovel. That was one of Dad's favorite sayings. So I don't believe that the tithe is still a part of obedience to the Lord. I believe it was, again, an old covenant temple tax. It's not in play today. And interestingly enough, when I was coming to a settled conviction on these matters, I consulted a number of Jewish writers.
Mm.
Some of the Messianic Jews who followed Jesus and some not.
Right.
But they were all aligned on one thing. The idea that the tithe is still applicable to the church today, ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, they found it ludicrous that Gentile believers actually hold that position. Because they knew better.
Is it safe to say that's where we get the word offering then from the New Testament?
Yeah, that's sort of, I mean,
or is that, you know,
tithes and offerings are two terms. The tithe referred to the tax. Offerings were different than the tax. They were more freely chosen, and they weren't a prescribed amount.
Yeah.
And so people today, using the old covenant terminology, will say, bring your tithes and your offerings, and your offerings start at the 11th percentile
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But again, that's trying to fit new covenant life inside an old covenant box.
Yeah.
The New Testament talks about giving and offerings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't use the word tithe. We don't refer to the tithe. I don't teach the tithe. We at ACAC teach people, ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do. If it's more than you deem possible, then that's probably the right amount.
Right.
And if you'll believe God for it, God will enable you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's between you and the Spirit.
Right.
And the last time I checked, we've paid every bill for 36 years.
Amen.
And give over $1 million a year out the door to missions.
That's amazing.
You see, I think a lot of pastors sadly teach the tithe.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're afraid if they don't, they won't be able to pay the bills. And to that I say, shame.
Yeah.
That you would teach something that you maybe inwardly know isn't really that solid out of fear of not having sufficient income. Look, God pays for what he orders.
That's right.
And if your church can't support what it's doing, then maybe it isn't doing what God wanted it to do. Or maybe it's gone about That's right. it in the wrong way. But again, I've pastored two churches. I've been in ministry 40 years. I've never had a church even in the midst of building programs. I've never had a church not finish a year in the black, and I've never taught tithing once.
That's amazing.
It's not necessary. Hmm. You do need to teach people to consult the Spirit, not be afraid, go for it, and watch God honor.
Yeah, and he does.
Well, that's what's happening with our expanded influence. I mean, Greg, I'm going to mention here in the next few weeks, because, you know, we haven't been talking a lot about the folks giving other than to say they've already surpassed the $3 million amount before they even saw some of the final drawings.
Right.
Before we ever put a shovel in the dirt. Hmm. But since I made my personal commitment, my finances have never been better. I mean,
praise God.
It's like income is coming to me from unexpected places, and my checking account balance and everything else, it's just unbelievable what God is doing as I fulfill the pledge amount I felt he placed upon my heart. I've got more, not less.
Amen.
Now, if I had less, I'd still have the joy of obedience. So,
yeah,
I don't want to imply you always have to get more finances in return. When God says he'll bless us, sometimes the greatest blessing is getting free depending too much on money.
That's right. It's not always monetary.
No. Yeah. No. So for some, the best thing they could do was be to get free from the love of money.
Amen.
So hopefully that answers your
question.
Absolutely,
absolutely. And I can't wait to forward this on to him so we have a little better understanding to talk.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.